25 minutes now before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, here today filling in for Joy Cardine. During the second half of the State Capitol Report this morning, we're going to be talking with State Senator Chris Larson. He's a Democrat from Milwaukee, following up on an opinion piece he wrote last week on declining state aids for most Wisconsin schools, a new report out on that. He says the state should be investing more in education. We'd like to hear from you, too. If you're a teacher, how has Act 10 affected your classroom? What are you doing to prepare for more cuts to state aid? How concerned are you about the quality of your child's education if you're a parent? Or is everything going to be okay in your book? You can call with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also find us on email. That address is talk@wpr.org. And don't forget, you can follow the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and post comments there, too. Senator Larson, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the opinion piece that you wrote. It was on WIS Opinion last week is where I saw it, which is part of the WIS Politics website.
Right.
And it kind of came out of news, it appeared to me, that the state has a surplus and some money has been deposited into the Rainy Day Fund. And while that may be good, you have some ideas that education, and also we have to mention, too, a report came out last week on state aids for education. And I think about two-thirds of the schools around the state, if I recall correctly, are going to be receiving less this year than they did last year.
That's correct, Gene. Yeah, the problem is we had this surplus announced less than a month ago by the governor to much jubilation and people being really excited about it. But the fact is, if you remember just a little bit over a year ago, he implemented these drastic cuts, and the education system took the biggest share of those cuts under the guise of saying, oh, we're broke. And so now, you know, they were saying we had to be making these huge cuts. Well, now here we are a year later, we have a surplus, but at the same time, we have an education deficit. And if we have an education deficit in our state, I'd argue we're having a values deficit, that if we have $340 million that we're sitting on in surplus, but at the same time we have kids in a classroom with 42 other kids trying to learn physics, or up the block from me, a third grade class has over 40 children packed in there trying to learn, well, we don't have a surplus. We need to be putting that money out there so that educators have the tools that they need to be able to have smaller class sizes, students have the attention that they deserve, so that we can strive long term. Otherwise, we're ending up with a values deficit that's going to hit us in the next few years. This report that you're talking about did come out. It showed that almost two-thirds of the state's public school districts will receive less aid in this coming year than they did the previous year. And this flies in the face of where we're saying Act 10 is going to be making up for all of this. It's also showed that 75% of school districts had to cut quality teachers, and a number of school districts had to let go of staff. 2,400 staff were cut just last year alone, and this is having a real impact on students. Anybody who's been in a classroom can see that. I've been touring everything from kindergarten all the way up through high school over the last 2 months, and you can see it. You can see it in the students' faces, and you can hear it from the teachers. They're trying to do what they can, and God bless them. They didn't go into this profession trying to make to get rich off of it, but they're doing what they can because they care for the kids. The best we can do is try to be able to give them a helping hand and stand there with them.
So the state aids, you mentioned that the two-thirds of the districts around the state are going to be receiving less state aid than last year. That means, of course, that one-third will be receiving the same or more. But I'm wondering, sort of behind that, how are state aid formulas determined? I mean, the math on this is, I think, very confusing to a lot of people.
It is. And to that end, one of the things that the superintendent, Tony Evers, is proposing is fair funding for our future to try and redo the funding formula as it works. The funding formula, it's already early. I don't want to get your listeners to go right back to sleep talking about the funding formula. The thing is it doesn't account as much as it should for poverty, and it also doesn't count, especially with the voucher system, how it works in Milwaukee. It doesn't add correctly the folks in Milwaukee. It actually counts one less than it should, actually two less than it should for each student that goes into the voucher program because they're not counted in the formula. What the superintendent proposed last month in the State of Education is trying to, one, make sure that there's a minimum level of funding for every student in the state, $3,000, and then also to make sure that there is a poverty factored into the formula. To make sure that we're not just looking at property values, but we're also looking at families' ability to pay, a number of other things that are also looked at in this. It's only a matter of time that people talk about the funding formula. People who already know that term already know that it's flawed and we need to be fixing it. So we've already signed on to this with the superintendent and are hoping to introduce it in the next session when we come back in January and be able to address this head on.
Returning to the issue of the money being deposited into the rainy day fund for a moment, proponents of that would say something along the lines, I would imagine, of, well, you know, the state has been in some very difficult financial circumstances lately. There are a lot of other wild cards out there in terms of state budgets, you know, healthcare costs and the like. We need to save this money. We need to have a cushion. How do you respond to that?
Well, the problem is what do you save it for, Gene? If we're going to say that we need this for when times are going to be rough, when times are down, when people are unemployed, or, you know, when the economy's not so good, we'll look around. It's raining. This is it. This is what the rainy day fund is for, is for times like these. And, you know, a lot of times we get wrapped up in this, what is a state budget and what does that mean? Because we deal with numbers most families don't. So let's break it down to what a family would be doing. If you were in a situation where you weren't, where you're not certain and at the same time your students or your kids are suffering, you know, you're not gonna say, oh, we're gonna have to cut back on school, we're gonna have to cut back on everything else. At the same time, we're gonna start growing our nest egg. That's not the time that you do that. You'd say, okay, here, what are we going to be able to do to get through this? And then to be able to stash off for a rainy day while it's pouring outside is just simply irresponsible.
And there might also be the argument that in the scheme of the state budget, $180 million hundreds of millions of dollars sounds like a lot of money until you start putting it in the context of the whole budget. And so if you look at the cushion in that regard, it may not be as large as you're making it out to appear.
Well, that's true. But at the same time, you also saw the largest cut to education funds in the state's history through this last budget. And so anything you can do to try and repair that or restore it to an equitable level is going to do some good. Every dollar that you put into these schools, they're going to be using at this point because they're starving. I'd encourage my, the people who are listening, if they're not in their kids' schools, to get there and actually see what's going on. I always found it shocking. I posted on Facebook a while ago when I was at, the school up my block, Fernwood for the day. And I was just shocked when I went into a third grade class and it was just packed. And it just looked like, is this a combined class? And they said, no, there's 38 in here. It's going to be over 40 next year. And I posted that. And a lot of people posted in response, well, that's no way. There's no way that can be happening. The teacher finally saw the post and got on and responded. This is happening in schools, and I think parents aren't really realizing that it's happening. The dollars may seem abstract, but they do have a real effect. And if we're not going to address it right now, when are we? If we're not addressing it with a class full of 40 kids all across the class, the state, when are we going to start to fix it?
State Senator Chris Larson is with us during this half hour. He's a Democrat from Milwaukee, and we're talking about an opinion piece that he published on WIS Opinion last week regarding cuts to public education in Wisconsin, and a report out last week reporting that about two-thirds of the state's public school districts next year are going to see a reduction in state aid. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Taking a look at Wisconsin weather for today, it is going to be sunny throughout the state, but it's going to be pretty cool as well. Expect highs in the mid to upper 40s. Tonight, clear skies, cold conditions, back down into the high 20s and low 30s for lows. And then tomorrow, looks like it's going to be sunny and cool. Highs will be in the 40s, lows in the 30s. The extended forecast Wednesday through Friday calls for sunny and cool conditions. Highs will be in the mid to upper 40s with lows back down into the 20s and 30s. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 13 minutes now before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 9 this morning with Kathleen Dunn, she is joined by political writer Craig Gilbert. And they'll be talking about some of the latest news from the campaign trail. That's coming up after 9 here on the Ideas Network. For the rest of this half hour, we are talking about education funding in Wisconsin. Chris Larson is with us this half hour, a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee. He wrote an opinion piece last week on some of the cuts to public education in Wisconsin and some of the changes that he would like to see in funding public education. 800-642-1234 is the number if you would like to join in. And let's get some reaction from listeners. Jeff is with us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
I just wanted to make a comment about Mr. Larson's piece that he put in the paper. I'm glad that somebody is finally bringing this to the public's attention. I'm a teacher in a small school in eastern Dane County, and 1 year after Act 10 took about $450,000 worth of state funding out of our budget. The district is actually going to referendum this year just to make up for that state funding that we've lost, because right now, without that referendum, we're going to be operating in the red not only next year, but even deeper the year after that.
And so this isn't a building referendum or something? This is an operating referendum?
This is purely an operating referendum, and the amount we're asking for matches the amount of state aid that was taken away from the district, yes.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Senator Larson, have you heard other stories like that?
We are. We're hearing that across the state. And unfortunately, this is another part of the shell game of the funding cuts that happened from the governor and from the Republicans, where they cut education and they said, okay, we're going to save all of this on property taxes. Well, it shifted it back to the locals to say, okay, if you have the ability to pay, the community is willing to step up and stand on these referendums. You'll be able to have a decent education system. They try and say the taxes aren't going up, but if you end up having to pay, each local community has to step up. It's just a shell game.
800-642-1234. If you would like to join in, let's head to Green Bay. And John is with us. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. This is exactly the conversation that has to be going on, and I really applaud this. It's been my fear for a long time. It's so easy to take short-term budget numbers and throw them around as saving this and that, and I think it's because it's been difficult to quantify the long-term effects of a good education. It's always down the road, and then when it hits, everyone says, what happened? Well, when people start envisioning 42 third graders in one classroom, you don't have to be a teacher, you don't have to be a parent, you don't have to be anything to realize that is not a learning environment that's going to keep Wisconsin out in front in education. And those are the specific numbers that people need to hear right now, because that's what people hear on the budget side, and I just think it's the only way to keep pace.
John, thanks for the call. Let's head now to Paul, who joins us from Menominee Falls. Hi, Paul.
Hey, thanks for the great show. I wanted to know, what is the status throughout the state since much of Act 10 has been found to be unconstitutional by Judge Colas? I've heard that school boards are being told that opinion only pertains to Dane County, although that is a circuit court. In the paper, they reported that unions can now begin negotiating with your districts. So if you know any more about that, I'd love to hear it. Thanks a lot.
Let's see if the senator does. Senator Larson, around the state, the ruling from Judge Colas in Dane County, there was another update to that, I think, last week, where, and I'm going to get my terminology wrong here, he didn't issue a stay to implement the Act 10 ruling. If I'm muddling this up badly, and hopefully you know where I'm going.
I know what you're saying. The Justice Department asked Colas to stay his judgment, and Judge Colas declined to do that. Again, citing, look, that that Act 10 is unconstitutional by the state constitution and by, you know, freedom of association. They also, Polis also cited the home rule in our state law that Act 10 violated. So even though it was just the Madison and Milwaukee that moved forward with this, this case, it can apply to the rest of the state. Now, the problem you're going to have is that if you're looking to try and push for a different contract, you have to get them to try and open it up. So you have to have the union or what's left of the union after it's been decimated being able to work with the negotiating unit, the entity that you would be trying to negotiate with. And unfortunately, they've been advised by the Justice Department to not reopen those negotiations because they think that this is going to go to the appeals level. As it stands right now, Act 10 is unconstitutional, but I think a lot of people are waiting to see what's going to happen because, unfortunately, we do have a very partisan Supreme Court, and if it gets to that level, they'll probably act on politics instead of on individual rights and on what the Constitution says.
Let's head to Green Bay now, and Jeff is with us. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. As a nation of the state, we spend more on education per child than any other country. And I guess my question would be, how do you respond to people who simply want to see some value for that money that we're spending when our test scores aren't stacking up to the countries that don't spend as much as we do?
Senator?
Well, we do have pretty strong test scores. I think a lot of times we end up picking and choosing the scores that we want to look at. Yes, we can do better, and I think I agree that we want to have accountability with what we're spending on our school system. And to that end, one of the finer points I hit in the op-ed piece, but something that I hit on all the time, is about ensuring that we have accountability in our voucher program. I live in Milwaukee. We have had a voucher program since I was 9 years old, and we've yet to put in a actual accountability system that shows if you're putting money in, what is it doing and what are the results as far as test scores. The last results we just got, 2 months ago, it returned with huge chunks of data missing, going unreported. And I think if we'd had that, and if that was what came out of WEDAC, where we just saw that, the Economic Development Corp, you know, people would be very upset. So I do think we should have that. Unfortunately, we implemented this accountability just for the public schools, but not for all public dollars. And that's something that, you know, I'd stand with you of trying to make sure that all of our public dollars are accounted for.
But how do you do that? I mean, Jeff raises a point that I think you hear an awful lot. And if you look at the amount of money being spent in Wisconsin on education, it's pretty tidy bundle. How do you ensure that value is received? I mean, is it as simple as test scores? Because a lot of people point to that. But it seems to me that there are a lot of other intangibles in there that are really hard to measure.
Right. There's not going to be as much as we'd like to just have an easy metric to be able to quantify exactly the amount of money, what you're putting into education and what's going to come out of it. I do think you have to account for where kids are coming from. You have to account for poverty. Poverty has a much greater impact on a child's how a child is going to perform on a test than the education that they receive short term. So you're going to have to account for that when you're trying to account. You're also, I think, also going to be able to make sure that you're counting each of the students and not cherry picking. You also have to account for learning disabilities, students that come who are a little bit tougher to teach. Some students are tougher to teach than others, and you have to account for that. This is something that the superintendent is taking a crack at, and I think we're going to be trying to support that this next session. I think people want value out of their tax dollars. I think people expect that. And I think that, look, we do spend a lot on education, but the problem is, are we spending it adequately? Are we spending it on the right things? And you can look at the fact that if class sizes are going up, if teachers are exiting the system, if parents are dissatisfied, you've got some problems there.
You mentioned the upcoming session, and of course, what happens then will depend greatly on what happens next Tuesday in terms of the election. The Assembly, of course, heavily Republican in Wisconsin. The Senate, Democratic by a thread. What do you think is going to happen after November 6th?
Well, I think we're either going to hold on to the state Senate or it's going to be within one seat. I think either way, you're going to end up with having a pro-public education majority in the state Senate, collective bargaining majority in the state Senate. The Assembly, a lot of it is going to rely on what's going to end up happening, actually, the federal level with the U.S. Senate race and Obama's race. A lot of these races are people don't look at the local candidates as much as they used to, but a lot of them are out there knocking on doors and trying to make a difference with Wisconsin being a swing state. You know, a lot of these local candidates get caught in the tide. Wherever that tide goes, I think that's how the local seats are going to fall.
And just in 30 seconds or so, how do you make your case to the governor?
Well, I would say that, look, he's somebody who said that he values education on the campaign trail. He says that he values accountability and transparency. But unfortunately, we've yet to see that. I think when he was able to have unilateral control of everything, with both houses, he had a chance to do that, he balked. And I think that if we have a split legislature as we do now, it'd be a great time to show how bipartisan we can be and get rid of the sacred cows, and everybody has to be accountable and transparent with our tax dollars, from Development Corp to education. And now's the time to do it.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. Senator Larson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Senator Chris Larson, Democrat from Milwaukee, talking about an opinion piece he published last week in WisOpinion, and you can find that online. Cynthia Schuster provided on-air production. Amanda Magnus directed the hour. Bill Martins produced it. And I'm Gene Purcell. And for Joy Cardine, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.